The epistle for the last Sunday after Pentecost is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Colossians. Brethren, we have been praying for you unceasingly, asking that you may be filled with knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. May you walk worthily of God and please Him in all things, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God. May you be completely strengthened through His glorious power unto perfect patience and long-suffering. Suffering, joyfully rendering thanks to God the Father, who has made us worthy to share the lot of the saints in light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have our redemption, through His blood, the remission of sins. Please stand. The continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. At that time Jesus said to His disciples, "When you see the abomination of desolation which was spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, let him who reads understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything from his house. And let him who is in the field not turn back to take his cloak. But woe to those who are with child or have infants at the breast in those days. But pray that your flight may not be in the winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been from the beginning of the world until now, nor will be. And unless those days had been shortened, no living creature would be saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. Then if anyone say to you, 'Behold, here is the Christ,' or 'There he is,' do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders, so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. Behold, I have told it to you beforehand. If therefore they say to you, 'Behold, he is in the desert,' do not go forth. 'Behold, he is in the inner chambers,' do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and shines even to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Wherever the body is, there will the eagles also be gathered together. But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give her light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven will be shaken. And then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then will all tribes of the earth mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming upon the clouds of heaven with great power and majesty. And he will send forth his angels with a trumpet and a great sound, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. Now from the fig tree learn this parable. When its branch is now tender and the leaves break forth, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. Amen, I say to you, this generation will not pass away till all these things have been accomplished. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Please be seated. And then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then will all tribes of the earth mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming upon the clouds of heaven with great power and majesty. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Reverend Father and dear brethren, as we know, every last Sunday of the church year, we have this sobering gospel on the end of the world. Very fitting, because it's the end of the church year. And even next Sunday we'll hear St. Luke's account of the end of the world as foretold by our Lord. And the church even has it for the first Sunday of Advent to remind us of how he came as a helpless little infant. Beyond charming, just so wonderful to think of God being a little baby in his human nature. So that's the way he came the first time. But he will come the second time in a markedly different manner. He will come to judge the living and the dead. He will preside as the judge at the last judgment. What a difference! But they're still related because both are the coming of Christ. So we are reminded of course, the end of the world. It will happen at some point. You know, people ask me, Father, are we living in the end times? And I say, yes, we are, because of what St. Paul says in 2 Thessalonians about the great falling away or the great apostasy. And you know as well as I do, this great falling away from Catholic faith and morals, it's happened since Vatican Council II. It is definitely a new religion that's becoming more heretical as the years go on. It embraces more the corrupt values of the world instead of the teachings and values that have always been there since our Lord gave them to us. So it is, it's beyond any debate that the great falling away has happened. Now what has not happened is where St. Paul says the Antichrist will be in the temple of God and give himself out as though he was God and be worshipped as though he's God. And it's not going to be a demon, it's going to be a man. Now there have been various Antichrists in the history of the church, but at the end there will be the Antichrist, the one who will most oppose Christ and everything that he taught. And as St. John says in the Apocalypse, the world will follow that beast in wonder. Now, about that part, I don't know the timetable. I really don't. You know, people ask, what's the future going to hold? I don't know. Only God knows. But that great falling away did happen. It's continuing. Just yesterday, one of my parishioners was asking me, will we ever have a true pope again, one that will teach us the faith, not one heresy after the other? And I had to say, I haven't the foggiest. I don't know. But what we do know is that things will play themselves out as God wills. We know that he never wills sin to happen. He can't. But he certainly allows it to happen. And in allowing the evils that have happened throughout history, God brings good. Somehow it factors into his plan, which he foresaw from all eternity. One thing I noticed too from that second letter to the Thessalonians is that the people there believed that the end was so imminent that they basically gave up all planning, gave up living, you might say. And it's in that same epistle that St. Paul, even though he tells them, yes, there will be the great falling away, the end times, the Antichrist, he said, you must still live your life. And he says, let those that do not work, do not eat. Some of them actually taken to that extreme. Why plant anything? Why provide anything? You know, the end of the world is right around the corner. Again, St. Paul believed it was imminent himself. And that was over almost 2,000 years ago. So as we live in our times, we too should take that message to heart. We too have to plan. We have to live. Let's live the gospel, and that's what will prepare us for anything that may happen. We all have to live it anyway. We're called to strive for perfection, and one day, whether it's the end times or not, God will call us out of this life. And we need to be as ready as we can be. We will have our particular judgment on that occasion, and then God will have the general judgment at the very end of the world, when he comes in his glory. One of the phrases that really stands out to me in this gospel is, and then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then will all tribes of the earth mourn. What is this sign of the Son of Man? It's the cross. Our Lord says that will be in the sky. And I believe that because many will reject our Lord, reject his cross, refuse to carry their cross, that's why they will mourn. They'll be afraid because of the imminent judgment coming upon them. But those that believed in our Lord, that had faith in him, dying upon the cross, that strove to know, love, and serve him, they will not be afraid. Rather, they will be rejoicing, for their deliverance is at hand. Make no mistake, my dear brethren, that is the symbol of our Catholic faith, the cross. It has more power than we can realize. One of the great spiritual tributes, I believe, for this parish is that when this beautiful Gothic altar was installed in 1993, I remember being here for it, even though I wasn't the pastor. I assisted Bishop Pivrunis in his solemn blessing of the altar and of the church. As I said, one of the wonderful things to realize is that this beautiful crucifix, this large one, used to be in the middle. That was the first remodeling that was done when it was converted from a Protestant church to a Catholic church. And again, when this beautiful Gothic altar was obtained, the people here said, we don't want to part with it. We'll accommodate it. So there it is on the side. I was really glad to hear that. Because that is, again, the symbol of our Lord's uttermost love for us and the very sign of our Catholic faith. It's the sign, the symbol of Christianity. So our Lord came to save us through the cross. One chapter that I would recommend you read, I find it so interesting, is chapter 16 of St. Matthew's Gospel. And it is in that gospel where St. Peter professes his faith in our Lord after our Lord says, who do everybody say that I am? And St. Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He's saying, in other words, thou art the Messiah. Thou art the one. Thou art God himself in human form. And Jesus praised him, said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood has not revealed this to thee, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say to thee, thou art Peter. And upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail. And to thee I will give the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Now, mind you, he did not become pope at that moment. Our Lord was designating him that he would be the first pope. And that happened after the resurrection. This happened about a year before the passion and death of our Lord. So it would make no sense for him to be the visible head of the church while our Lord is still with his apostles and with the people for another year. But he was designated. But to continue in this same chapter of St. Matthew's Gospel, our Lord then goes on to tell them. He says, you've heard how people call me. They think I'm some prophet. You, Peter, have correctly identified me. Now I am going to tell you who I am. I am the one who will suffer and die for you. And Peter, at that moment, says, Lord, far be it from thee to do this. And you know what Jesus then said? Get thee behind me, Satan. Can you imagine a bigger contrast than that? I'm going to make you the rock upon which I will build my church. You're going to be the first pope. You're going to have the power to open the kingdom of heaven through the spiritual keys. But if you oppose me, Peter, if you say, take the easy way out, then you are like the devil in telling me to do that. And then our Lord continues and says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. What a powerful 16th chapter of St. Matthew's Gospel this is. So this is incumbent upon every follower of Christ, everyone who hopes to save his or her soul. Our Lord gives the formula right there. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. What does that mean? Keep the commandments. In order to keep God's Ten Commandments, especially in an increasingly sinful world, we have to deny ourselves, make whatever sacrifice needed to be faithful to God's commandments. But then our Lord says, take up your cross. And this must have made no sense to the apostles. Because remember, the cross was the way that the worst criminals were executed. In Roman citizens were never crucified. It was below their dignity. If they deserved capital punishment, they got it another way. So here our Lord is saying you have to carry your cross. And that, of course, made sense when he carried his cross to Calvary on which to die. And he told us, his followers, we have to carry the cross too. If any man will come after me, that's a conscious decision each person makes that wants to save his or her soul. Yes, I will keep the commandments and I will also carry my cross. What is the cross? It's all those sufferings that we have to go through in life that we would have never chosen for ourselves, but God allowed us to undergo them. Physical ailments, physical suffering, emotional suffering, disappointments, everything that is difficult and hard for us in life. That is the cross that we must bear. He promised that it would not overwhelm us, but that we would have to carry it with his help. And yes, sometimes it would be heroic. But that's how we imitate him. You know, St. Louis Marie de Montfort, the one who preached so much devotion to Our Lady, also preached the doctrine of the cross. Well, really, every saint did. St. Paul says, we preach Christ crucified. Even though he had risen from the dead, saying we preach Christ crucified. And St. Louis was so convinced of the good that comes from carrying the cross that he had as a saying, it is such a cross not to have a cross. So what he was saying is, when everything was going well in his life, he felt like God wasn't loving him enough, or God could love him more. So he would pray for a cross, something to offer up, something to bear. Now there's a saint who understands the value of the cross. We're probably not there yet ourselves, where we yearn for suffering. But let us at least pray for patience in carrying the crosses. All of the, as I said, all the things we have to suffer in life that we would not have chosen for ourselves. That's how we follow Christ. And so much good happens spiritually as a result. And then our Lord says, follow me. So there's the spiritual life in a nutshell. Deny ourselves, carry our cross, and follow him. Not just refrain from sinning, but try to be more like Christ in our daily lives. In next Sunday's epistle, St. Paul will say, put on the Lord Christ. What a wonderful way to think of it. Put on the Lord Christ. Put on his virtues. We'll never reach them in their magnitude, but in our own small way, try better and better to practice the virtues of our Lord. I want to leave you with a true historical happening. And this goes all the way back to the year 312, long time ago. And there was a huge battle brewing for control of the Western, if not the entire Roman Empire. And in the West, it was the army of Maxentius lined up to fight the army of Constantine. And Constantine was not a baptized Catholic yet. He would be baptized by the Pope later on. But the night before the battle, this happened at the Milvian Bridge, which is on the northern side of Rome. It still exists, of course, has been rebuilt, but that's where the focus of the battle was. But the night before the battle, Constantine was shown a vision of the cross in the sky. And there were in Latin letters the words "In hoc signo vinces," which means "in this sign you will conquer." He knew what that was all about. He was about to go into the battle of his life. This is a winner take all type of battle. Whoever won it would be the emperor of the Western, if not the entire Roman Empire. So the stakes couldn't have been higher. So during the night, he had the cross placed on all of the military banners and standards that the soldiers would carry into battle. And sure enough, he won the battle decisively. In that sign, he indeed conquered. He didn't understand it all. He wasn't even a baptized Christian. But the message for all of us is this: in that sign, we too will conquer. You know, at the end of World War II, the Allies were flashing this sign a lot. V for victory. They didn't hold it this way, held it this way. V for victory. We hold the cross up because that is the spiritual victory. It was for our Lord who conquered death, who conquered death, who conquered Satan, who was obedient to the end, and he will help us to conquer and to win whatever battles, especially the spiritual ones. That is our symbol of victory. Love the cross. Venerate it. Through that way, we were saved. Our Lord will help us get through whatever may happen in the future. The introit today says, "I think thoughts of peace, not of affliction." So God will help us. Our Blessed Mother will help us. And let us strive to live His teachings and become more and more like Him. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.